Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon once again. And, of course, last week I was not here. I am always, for you, up in the captain's chair, someplace in the world. And last week I was in Belize, Central America. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on in the program, because there were a couple of interesting things that happened, and it was just a wonderful trip in a glorious country and beautiful and lovely people. But I was not here, and I would normally have broadcast from Belize, but last week also was Give Big. And it is my wish, my hope, and certainly my command that all hands who were part of Give Big last week have my thanks and my blessings. All of you, as always, are in the palm of my hand. I had a talk with Captain O'Brien this morning before he went off to inspect a new boat that he is looking at. And I said, how did we do in good on Give Big? And he said, Voice of Vashon met its goal. And he believed that most of the other people, the other organizations, did as well. If I had been here, I would have been interviewing three different organizations during my time and would have been advocating for those of you who are participants in those particular organizations to contribute to them during Give Big. Anyway, I'm told that Give Big was a big success this year, and for that, I thank you very much, and especially those of Captain Joe's people who contributed to the Voice of Vashon. I know that you are out there. My greetings today go to all of Captain Joe's people who are working their way through airports. I worked my way through several on this last trip. One was, of course, SeaTac. Another one was the George Bush International Airport in Houston. Another one was BZE, Belize City. And another one was San Pedro in Belize, which you get to by a single-engine Cessna 204, and I will talk about that in a minute. Anyway, the airports are getting bigger. They continue to construct into the outer reaches, and I believe that SeaTac now has worked its way all the way to Tukwila. And in any case, carry on. Keep going. I have indulged myself in the humiliation of being pushed around in those, and especially when I had to come back into the United States at Houston, because even though I have global entry, it was shut down, and so I was pushed to the head of the queue in a couple of places, and for that I am enormously grateful. The binnacle list today is a mixed one. It's a mixed one in the sense that a couple of my people are having new challenges that were not expected. And when I had reported with David, for example, that things were on the mend, I did not realize that there were sometimes we take a nautical mile forward and half a nautical mile aft, and that is what has happened with him. I looked and observed Captain O'Brien this morning to check out the straightness of his back, and he's doing better. My friend Josh, my shipmate Josh, has been silent lately, which I am interpreting as he is getting ready for our joint expedition in September to Ingham in Key West. And the other report, of course, is my own, and that is that next week the lovely, ever lovely Vivian and I are going to try once again to see whether I can manage, as the medical profession calls it, void on my own. And the cancer part of the treatment is working. So one of the things, if I fail, and you know that I look at failure as something that I do not like to do, if I fail yet once again, then we're going to have a come to the captain session in which we talk about a different treatment plan, possibly, maybe one that's a little bit more aggressive. And of course, because we share all things on this program, I will let you know. During the 2 weeks that I was gone, I was able to accomplish several missions, and all of them are in keeping with the mission that I frequently proclaim from this microphone, and that is that on the Voice of Vashon 101.9, we're going to now give you the FCC requirement, 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other, on voiceofvashon.org. And having now complied with that particular regulation and having reviewed the list of words, which I am not allowed to say because in one of the stories that I'm going to tell, I probably am going to dance around the one or two of those words, but I shall, as always, be alert and make sure not to do that. So I was able to, my mission here, of course, is that for all of us to feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live at the end of the half hour that you give to me each week, and which I am privileged to be able to pontificate with you from the captain's chair. So let's talk first about the Belize trip. And Captain O'Brien, as he was going out, he said this morning or this afternoon, he said, "Captain Joe, I heard that you were in Belize." Well, he must not have been paying much attention because over the last 2 weeks, because I had put the word out, especially to the Voice of Vashon, that I would not be here. And he said, "What the hell were you doing in Belize?" And so the answer to that question is that a friend of many decades that has come back to me through, I believe, through The Voice. I think that Pam found me through The Voice. And she said, "I am going to Belize with a friend, and then I could stay for a few days if you were able to come on down." And I looked at the calendar, and sure enough, I was able to do it. And by this time, I had worked the problem such that I knew how to travel. I knew how to get around with Mr. Foley, and I knew how to deal with all of the logistics that go with that. Part of those logistics, of course, is to humiliate myself by being pushed around in a wheelchair, but always by some very interesting and lovely people. And I enjoy talking to them and helping to augment their income. So I made all the bookings and matched up with my friend in Belize. And the way you get to Belize from Seattle is that, at least with the airline arrangements that I choose, that you fly to, in my case, Houston, and then you get a direct flight from Houston to Belize City. Now, I have lived and worked and sailed and studied all over the world. I grew up, part of my growing up years, if I had any growing up years at all, my preteen years, 4 years living in Aruba. And I, of course, lived for 3 years in the UK. So I know what it means to be an expatriate from this country and to travel. But I had never in my whole life been to Belize before. And you land in Belize City, which was at one time the capital of the country. The country was originally British Honduras. And you arrive in Belize City, which was the capital at one time, but there was a terrible hurricane about 20 years ago, which flooded Belize City, which is below sea level. And so they constructed a new capital up in the hills. But you still fly into Belize City. It's like going into Wellington, New Zealand. You have to fly into Auckland and then get a smaller airplane that can land in the shorter runways in Wellington. And so, and then to get to the hotel was out on one of the barrier islands, and you fly to that by getting on a single engine Cessna 208, I think it is, 208, 204. Anyway, it's called a Caravan, has a single turboprop engine up front, up in the bow, and it carries 10, 12 people. And it is with an air carrier called Maya. So you go from Belize City to San Pedro on Maya Airlines in this Caravan. Now, every seat in this Caravan was taken. There are two, there's a bench seat all the way aft. And it looked to me as if in both flights, both flying out and coming back, that they picked the heaviest people to occupy those two bench seats. And so I was considerably concerned and alarmed about weight and balance. So the captain comes out and the co-pilot seat is filled with a paying passenger. All of the other seats are filled with paying passengers. And then the two largest were firmly planted in that bench seat all the way aft. And I'm wondering to myself, where is the center of gravity? It must be about 8 feet aft of the tail cone. Well, I had every reason to be concerned because as we got underway, and it was really warm, so of course it took longer to... Anyway, this Cessna had a considerable amount of trouble getting off the air, getting off the ground, but we made it, and we flew over to San Pedro, and we were then... I was on my own and monitoring the contents of Mr. Foley all the time. And we had just a wonderful, lovely place to stay with lovely, lovely people taking care of us. And it everything about it was great until we got to an until. And this until was that Mr. Foley clogged. And I had already used the spare. I did not have another spare. I had already used it. And so it is beyond the scope of both the time and the enthusiasm of this particular broadcast to tell you how I found an emergency room. But an emergency room was found in a very small private hospital. And so I went in. And inside this emergency room, there were four people, but no customers. I was the only one, and delighted to have me were they. And so once we went through the check-in procedures, which were very quick and efficient, I was ushered into a treatment room. And inside this treatment room was the supervising and presiding physician, an MD, sitting behind a desk. And they got me up on the table, and very quickly the old tube was removed, and I felt an immediate sense of relief because things were backing up pretty badly. And I looked over at the physician. Now, the next part of the story is not pejorative to the medical profession. I am cared for by incredibly competent, professional physicians and people who work with physicians like my lovely little Vietnamese Vivian. And I have only the highest regard for all of them. And one of that high regard is because all of them have a sense of humor. And they are all Captain Joe's people. So I'm looking over at this MD, and he's got the replacement tube, which is between 18 inches and 2 feet long, and it's in the packet, and he's examining it as if he had never seen one before. I didn't even think. I just said, thinking that he would have some sort of sense of humor, I said, "Do you need to read the directions?" And he really got upset about that. Fortunately, I was being handled and cared for by two RNs, Belizean RNs, both of whom would be the equivalent of a chief corpsman in my world, in the world of all of us who are military people. And so I was certain that I would continue to be handled with the same care and gentleness and kindness, regardless of the poor attitude of the MD. But he was really upset because I think that he felt that I was implying that he did not know what he was doing. Well, fortunately, the other two knew exactly what they were doing, and they did it quickly and kindly and gently and softly to my immediate and complete relief. And all of this is to tell you that this physician and I parted company with a shake of the hand, a smile in both directions, and hopefully the next time around he won't be quite so full of himself. I know all about people who are full of themselves. Maybe your captain sometimes is one of them. Anyway, I made the return trip successfully. Mr. Foley did not act up. And later on this afternoon, I'm having a session with the ever-lovely Vivian to replace some parts of the system. And then next week, we're going to actually pull it and give it a try. Now, I try to find, and hopefully I'm successful in finding the humor and the interest in all of this, because it is indeed an interesting process. Those of you who have gone through it know what I'm talking about, and those of you who are eagerly looking forward to your own experience, know from your captain that it is all survivable, and it does not keep you from doing anything that you want to do. I've now done international travel, and I am going to keep on doing that for as long as I possibly can. But I am ready to see the stern end of Mr. Foley. On Sunday was Kite Day and Mother's Day, and the first day of tours out at Point Robinson Lighthouse. And I had just a glorious day. The day was full of children. It was full of dogs and some of Megan's dog treats. It was full of children coming with things that they had found on the beach, coming to the captain for some explanations. So here's one of them. Two little girls, one about, I know how old they were because I asked them how old they were and they told me. One was 4 and one was 7. And they were all dressed up for Mother's Day. And they were there with their mom and they were also there with their grandpa. Now, of course, I have great affinity for grandpas because I happen to be one myself. And so these two girls came up to me, and the 7-year-old was missing some teeth in the front, and but they were dressed, and hair was brushed, and they had ribbons in their hair, and they were absolutely beautiful. They were both blonde, blue eyes, and probably had some Scandinavian, Danska Flicka, Svenska Flicka, Norska Flicka, I don't know, but whatever they were probably part Scandinavian, because many people in this part of the world are. And they had brought a crab up to me, and it was broken. And I said, ladies, if you go back out onto the beach and look around, and if you find a complete crab and bring it back, one that has the claws, then I will show you how the crab uses the claws to eat. This is a reprieve of another experience that I had with a young 4-year-old boy that had the dirty and wet Labrador Retriever. And so off they went. And about an hour later, they came back and they had this tiny, tiny, tiny little crab. But it was complete and it was still alive. So they put it, I held out my hand and they put it in the palm of my hand. That's the same palm of my hand that all of Captain Joe's people are. And so they put the little crab in my hand and it was running around and and we held it down enough so that I could demonstrate how the claws worked. And then we had this conversation that you can only have with a four-year-old and a seven-year-old child. And it goes something like, why? What does the crab eat? Why can't, if we take it home, how long will it live? So we found a paper cup. I keep a supply of them out there. And we put the crab in the paper cup and a little bit of salt water. And the crab has now a new home. We are all hopeful that it is going to continue to grow. I tell this story as I tell a lot of stories that involve children with whom I come in contact, because when we get ourselves all round up and wound up about all of the things that are happening in the world, and I'm not talking now about the terrible tragedies of war and combat. I'm talking about things besides that. Those tragedies are just so awful, and especially the women and children who are involved, it's all so sad. But I'm talking about other situations that we get ourselves all worked up about. And then I sit in the captain's chair out at Point Robinson Lighthouse, and I'm surrounded by all of these people that are there to come and talk about. Well, there are all sorts of things that we talk about. And in particular, the children. Beautiful, beautiful children. Not by any means all American children. There are many, many Indian children that come. All of them with their hair brushed out and absolutely beautiful, beautiful kids. And you look at them, and my reaction is the same that I have when I look at my own grandchildren. If there was a way to do it, and of course this is both a foolish wish and one that we cannot bring to consummation, but if there were a way to do it, I would keep away from you all of the hurt and the anguish that I know is part of every single life. And I know that that's a foolish wish, because the way that we come to the end of a life, having felt that we have done not too badly, is to work our way through those sad and difficult experiences. And I look at these kids and I look at my own grandchildren and then I say, nope. What I am going to do is I am going to be here for as long as I can. This is a place that you can come from the captain's chair, and I will hold out my hand and you can climb up into it. And that's the way that I came. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day, and I think that we probably had about 500. The park district thinks we had about 500. We had well over 100 kites that we gave away. We had kites flying all over the place. There wasn't much wind. And so we had kids running back and forth, getting the kites up in the air. I could not get the dragonfly up because it was way too heavy for the wind that we had. But in terms of things that really count in life, the success of getting a kite up in the air, learning how to deal with the failure of not getting the kite up in the air. Learning how a little tiny creature can be used to teach you something about how life works. When we get to things like that, then I realize that I am indeed the most fortunate of men. And I had such a lovely note from the people at the Park District yesterday after the event. And it was in the sense of thanking me for being a part of all of this. And in return, I have to thank everybody who came and was a part of that great, great day in which we dealt with things that really count. In the last week, I went to two retirement parties. One of them was for a lady of whom I have not worked all that long, and so I did not have quite the same sense of loss that I had with the second. But the second was with my friend Elaine, who was retiring as the executive director of the Vashon Park District and with whom I worked in happy harmony for the 12, 13 years that she's been the director. And I was thinking about what I would do in the way of a gift, and I found in Captain's Quarters a print of Point Robinson Lighthouse that Mary R. had given me. And she gave that to me at a time when the Park District was in serious difficulties, and it was a present to help me through a particularly difficult time. And I thought that this would be the right time to send that particular print, that particular gift, on to the next person who will enjoy it and remember its significance during her retirement. All of these people where I go to their retirement times and ceremonies, I'm reminded of my own retirement, which I did so badly. And in fact, as you can tell from this broadcast, I've not ever yet really and fully retired, and I don't intend to fully retire until it is time for me to actually make that my own bar crossing. My last thing is that one of the things that I have been involved with for many years is the Council of American Master Mariners. I've been a voting and regular member of the Master Mariners for 30, 40, 35 years. But I've never been involved with a local chapter. And at a annual general meeting of the Master Mariners last year in New Orleans, I met the people who are involved with the local chapter, and I said, I really want to be a part of that. And so this last week I went to a meeting, and I was just so impressed and so made to feel so welcome. Well, of course, I am a captain, and you have to be a captain to be a full member of this particular organization. So we're not talking about people who are just beginning their lives. But I was, I'm just really glad that I went. And one of the things that struck me about this particular group is that they, although all except one, are no longer sailing, they're all retired, like me, well, except I'm not fully retired, are very much interested in preserving the traditions that go with going to sea and to bring into the membership of the organization young captains. And I am all in favor of that, and I'm going to be a part of that. I don't know exactly what form that will take, but I just have to be a spring butt here and say that to all of the captains at the Master Mariners that I'll do what I can to bring in some young people who understand the responsibilities and the weight of command at sea. And with all of that, I had several other things that I wanted to, I'll have to do them next week. Because we have, as always, once again, come too quickly to the end of our time together. Be certain in your hearts and minds and souls that whenever I am not here on the magical isle, I am with you someplace in the world. And I'm going to continue to be your Captain Joe for as long as it be in the hands of God for me to be able to do that. So, with that, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. This is, as always, your Captain Joe. I am on station and watching properly from the captain's chair.